Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to gather here today, Lord, once again. And what a wonderful time we have had with worship and being able to bring our tithes and our offerings and being blessed by these girls, O Lord. We thank you, O Lord, for this time that we have had. And we just pray that you would open up our minds and our hearts as we continue to celebrate Jesus. And we think about Jesus in this season. We pray that you would open our minds and our hearts to hear and sense what you want to tell us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say with regard to these girls that gave us this awesome praise dance, they approached me like a month ago and they were like, hey, Pastor, well, it's my daughter or so. She was like, hey, Dad. And then, of course, the other girls were around there and they were like, hey, can we do a dance for Christmas? Now, our dance ministry is doing a dance for Christmas. So I'm like, of course, you guys, you're doing it. Little did I know, they were planning on their own, and then after that, Eliana helped them out as well, and Julissa, and the older girls kind of came in to sharpen it, which was really cool. But I love the heart of these young girls. They came into my office, and they were like, hey, we want to do this, and I'm thinking they're working along with Joanna, our dance ministry leader. So I gave them the absolute yes, thinking that that they were working along with her. Then I find out this is something that was birthed in their heart. Obviously, we mentioned it to Joanna as well, because we want to make sure that we all stay on the same team. But just shedding light on their heart and their passion to do something for God and for the church during this season. They worked it all out. They made the moves. It was extra work on all the moms and dads because they are practicing for different dances and stuff. But just so thankful for their heart. And we pray that the Lord will continue to bless our children, right? That as they grow older, their passion would be for God and for God's people. You know, and we know that if they can stay on that track, they will always enjoy the greater good that God has for their lives. Always, always. And the church says. So today is our Sunday before Christmas. And I'm so happy to share with you and see you all. And like Betsy mentioned, this Thursday we have our 7:30 Christmas service. We hope that you can make it. It'll only be about an hour and 15 minutes long, our Christmas Eve service. It's going to start at 8 o'clock on the 23rd this Thursday. And we hope that you can be there. It's going to be beautiful. Our music ministry has put something together for each and every one of us. And this is a great time of year. Christmas is a wonderful time of year where we can gather with family and friends and loved ones. And we share together. We share food together. We share music together. We share dancing together. And I love it. It's a nice time. It's a beautiful season. As we drive up our neighborhoods and we see the lights on the windows and the doors and the Christmas trees. It's awesome. It's extra special. You know, like I shared last week, our celebration is because of Jesus, right? He is the Savior of the world, which was our title last week. And we come together in this season and we remember Jesus, as we shared last week, that he's the promised Messiah, that he's the God-man, that he's Emmanuel. And we come together, and although there's a lot of fun involved with regard to this season, but let us never forget why we celebrate, why this profound joy within us, why this sense of generosity within each and every one of us is because we remember the reality of this, that Jesus, he came into our world to be the Savior of this world, right? He is the greatest gift of all times. And as our titled sermon today, our teaching is, he's the perfect gift for you and for me. He's the perfect gift. And some struggle during this season. It's almost like the season is a hardship for them. Could it be that we haven't really embraced the real meaning of Christmas? And because we haven't embraced the real meaning of Christmas, we're not enjoying the season. But when we really think of the incarnation, and we really think about who Christ is and why we have celebrated this time in our calendar, it should bring a joy and an excitement. It actually should lift up our faith and encourage us to remember Jesus. And it should bring joy and laughter and celebration and family time and prayer time and meditation. That we think of the incarnation, that he who was rich became poor so that we who are poor could enjoy what it is to be rich. He who was in heaven became flesh so that us who are in the flesh can one day enjoy heaven. This is the reason for Christmas. So I want to encourage you, share this season, enjoy this season. Share gifts with each other. And I need to put a pause on this because my wife and I have heard so many stories of spouses not sharing gifts on Christmas. Oh, because somebody just go, oh. Not sharing gifts on Christmas. That burdens Becky and I in all transparency. I want to tell you, and it's, call it pastoral advice if you wish. Before we even give to our nephews and nieces, let us give to our spouses. If the budget only allows for a little bit, then we'll keep it in-house. And when we get together with the brothers and sisters, the uncles and the aunts, and the nephews and nieces, we'll all bring a tray of food, and we'll share together and sing together and laugh together. But let us not forget the urgency of our home. And I think that sharing a gift with your spouse is so crucial. You know why? Because if we just say, well, it's about the kids, and we wake up on Christmas morning, or we do Christmas Eve, however your culture does it, in our home, we do Christmas morning. And my wife, she's a stickler for it. No matter how many gifts are involved, it's Christmas morning, right? And we get up Christmas morning, and we share our gifts. We share with the girls share with us, and we share with each other, and the girls share. And it's a time for us, and we're teaching our girls that as they get older and one day have their own families, that sharing with their spouses is very important as well. So we still got a few more days. If you have not bought your spouse a Christmas gift, don't let your heart be troubled, to quote the words of Jesus. You still have a few more days. Go out there, and we don't got to break the bank. But I think that we should take time to show, as we celebrate the season, you know, we're so thankful for the gift of family, us. And this is not a responsibility, or we're responsible to give our kids gift, and we're responsible to. No, because of our faith in Christ, and we understand the perfect gift that was given to us, we take this moment and we want to bless each other. And the church says, I look so forward to hearing all those great testimonies of all those spouses sharing. Oh, it's going to be awesome. I also want to share with you, man, I am excited. This is the first time in the history of our church that I can remember. I've been here a long time, that we were able to give every church attendee, I hope to you it's special, because to me it's special, a special gift, right? So first I want to say all our children today, they have registered, and they're going home with this Hello Kids shirt, right, for all our kids. Pastor Adi's, along with her team, is doing an amazing job. And you are going to all receive this really cool bag. And I love it. It's got all our social media platforms on there. So as you're going to church or the supermarket, you know, I know that this is not going to take your Gucci bag spot, but you get to promote ECC, all right? And I want to thank Pastor Jorge and Arlene that they've put full efforts into this. We gave them the okay with the budget, but they made it happen. And we're so thankful. So you'll open up and you'll have this what I think is a real cool sweater. It's a nice quality sweater. It's got our logo for next year. Our theme for next year is All for Jesus in Spanish, Todo para Cristo. And we're really excited about it. So as you are wearing the sweater, you're just sharing the gospel at the same time. You're promoting your church. Woo-hoo! Right? And at the same time, you're keeping warm. So we're thankful. And the reason why we're doing this, I don't think that the budget would allow us. Well, who knows? Maybe the budget will. But I don't know if this is something that we can budget for every year, because there was a heavy cost behind it. But we have noticed the faithfulness of the congregation over the last couple of years. You all have been amazing. You've been amazing in your faithful giving through a time of pandemic. We were building the building. We had promises, and some of you have made promises of thousands of dollars. And the year of pandemic, you were pushing through and mailing your promises. And I felt bad. Like, we wouldn't even send out letters like reminding people of the promises once the pandemic came, because how insensitive would that have been? But yet, you all were so continually faithful. Not only that, we saw last year in the pandemic year, we saw our givings, if my mind don't fail me, increase like by 13% in a pandemic year. Hey, Mama. And this year, as we have done a year to date, about 6 weeks ago, we did the year to date. The church is right on the same track. So on behalf of all our church pastors, on behalf of our church board, to all our members, we just wanted to give a little thank you. And what I'd love for you to do, though, is just, if you get a chance, snap a picture, post it on your social media platforms, just kind of celebrating this season together as a church. So after the service, we're going to open up that door, and you'll be able to go right out to the gym. If you registered, there's an absolute sweater there for you. If you registered on time, absolutely. If you registered a little late, there's a possibility that it's there for you. If you did not register, we don't have a sweater for you, unfortunately. We do have a couple of extra sweaters that we have ordered. There'll be a list for possibilities, and after everybody has received their sweaters, if you didn't register and we have your size, it is absolutely yours. We did order just a couple of extras just in case. And the church says, amen. Amen. So it's a good time of year to receive a gift. To give a gift. And I want to encourage you during this gift-giving time of year, ask the Lord to help you to be generous. I heard a pastor friend of mine, today in his church, they have prepared 2,000 boxes of food, which I thought this was a phenomenal idea. And at the end of the service, they're telling the families, stop by so-and-so room and pick up as many boxes as you wish. Not for you, but for you to bless some of your neighbors and bless some of your families and just bring a spirit. I said, I love that idea. How awesome is that? You know, that we can go and we know people that are in need, and throughout this week we can say, hey, you know, we want to just bless you. So our church did not prepare 2,000 boxes, unfortunately, but it might be something that we do in the future. But perhaps the Lord is moving in you this season to be generous, to understand what it is to have embraced the perfect gift, and that you would also be generous in your gift giving to maybe somebody that you know absolutely needs. Maybe there's a family in your neighborhood that you know they have a lot of children, and things are a little tight there for them, and maybe they can't give as much as you can, and a gift card would really help them celebrate Christmas just a little nicer. Or a box of food would help them enjoy Christmas Eve dinner just a little bit more. Or maybe it would allow them to save their Christmas Eve budget as far as food and spend it on something for the family. Ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten that in you, to move that in you, to speak into your heart, and find the opportunity to show the face of Christ during this season. As we have enjoyed the perfect gift, which is Jesus, we can also resemble him in the life that we live. And the church says, amen. So We're talking about the perfect gift, right? That's our sermon today. You know, Sam could help me up there. So I think it was 76, 77. I received what I thought was the perfect gift. All right? So you see this? This is a Ross Apollo 5-speed bike. In 1976, 1977, my brother and I came back with my parents to my house from my uncle and aunt's house of celebrating Christmas Eve. And we walk into our house, I don't know, 1, 2 in the morning. And in our living room, there was a black one, just like this one, and a blue one, which was my brother, so I didn't put a picture of the blue one. But there was a black one, just like this one, waiting for me. And my brother and I were so excited. It was the perfect gift for us. We were so excited. I mean, look at that banana seat. You know, like I look at bikes now and I look at the sea and I look back and I go, how does that work? But that was a bike seat. That was a bike seat. I'm showing some of my age by showing that bike. But it was a perfect, it was a perfect gift for us. And during this season, we want to celebrate the perfect gift, and his name is Jesus. You know, when somebody gives you the perfect gift, you know, you feel right. If somebody gives you the right gift, you say, man, it was thoughtful. It was for me. They saw me in this gift. It looked like me. And for that reason, they gave it to me. I want to read our Bible verse to you today, which is a verse that we all know well, John 3:16. That's our Bible verse for our teaching today. For God so loved the world that he gifted us his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's a verse that we have read so many times. And I think it's so appropriate for this season when we're talking about giving and gifts. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He gave to us. God loved us so deeply, so wide, that he forged out the best gift that we could have. And he sent us his only Son to be our deliverer, to be our Savior. When we try to understand this, it's hard for us to always understand this. We fall short of trying to express how we feel about Jesus and the perfect gift for our lives. In fact, I love that the Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, he talks about Jesus. In that whole chapter, it's alluding to Jesus, and then he finishes the chapter off by saying these words: thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. He couldn't describe him. He couldn't find words to describe Jesus. In fact, you know who had the same problem? The prophet Isaiah. Hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, he was trying to describe what the Messiah would be and how he would present himself. And he writes these words, prophesying about the perfect gift hundreds of years before. And he says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And because he couldn't describe him with one word, he says, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's how he tried to describe the future Messiah. Jesus is the perfect gift, and he's a free gift. And you don't have to give a gift to get his gift. Today, we want to talk about him, the perfect gift, as time allows us this morning, the perfect gift. So four particular reminders with regard to the gift. First, he is a personal gift. He's a personal gift. He is all that we need. He's personal for us. It's nice to know when we have received something that is particular to us. Well, Jesus, he's very particular to us. He's very personal to us. I love that he is transcendent. Transcendent means that from barrier to barrier, God exists. But he's also immanent. Immanent means that he can abide within. So he's above all things, but yet he abides within. He abides inside of you and inside of me. Why? Because he's immanent. He could abide within, and he's very personal for us. Jesus in heaven, knowing our needs, he came and he became the Savior of the world. He became the perfect gift for you and I, and he's personal. He's not historical only. He's not mystical. No, he's not just supernatural. No, but he is also very, very personal. I love that that John writes in 3:16, the verse that we read, that whosoever believes, regardless of our language and our skin color, regardless of our social settings or our social status or where in this globe we were born, regardless of those things, he says, whosoever would believe, that's you and that's me. What an opportunity we would be able to receive this personal, perfect gift that comes from heaven. And I love this because it reminds us, as Paul writes in Romans, that God does not show no favoritism. He's interested in you and he's interested in me. Each and every one of us. And he's imminent. He can dwell in each and every one of us. He's personal. God is interested in all of us. And when we look at the New Testament, we see how God, he reaches out to the religious, to the tax collector, to the woman with many husbands, to the fishermen, to the sick, to the demon possessed, even to the common folk. People without letter. That's what scripture says. He reaches out to them and he abides with them. And he's personal towards them and their needs. And he will speak to them and minister to them individually. And I want to remind you today that God is very personal for you. He's this perfect gift from heaven. Personal for you. He knows your weaknesses and your insecurities. He knows your failures. He knows your past failures and your future failures. He knows what your gifting is. He knows what you're good at. He knows what you can do and what you can't do. He knows exactly where you are in your life today. And he is so personal with us that he walks with us every single day. And for that reason, we never have to hide from God. We could always be vulnerable before him, transparent before him. We could always approach him sincerely and say, hey, God, here I am. And he knows exactly who you are, and he knows exactly what you're going through right now. Perhaps there's someone here today that is struggling in life and you're not enjoying this season. It's because you haven't embraced the perfect gift. You haven't known him personally. You've known him religiously. You've known him historically. You know him mystically, but you don't know him personally. And because of that, the season becomes even more of a burden to you. But today, would you receive a perfect gift that's personal for you? It fits you well. And his name is Jesus. He's personal for you. Don't leave this place. Don't leave this place without the joy of Christmas. But leave this place knowing that the God of heaven is a perfect gift for you today. And the church says, number two, he's an undeserved gift. We don't deserve him. You ever receive something that you don't deserve? You know, you're like, oh my God, this was too much. This was too much. Right? You don't deserve, man, I don't deserve this. But that's what Jesus is for each and every one of us. He's an undeserved gift. We don't deserve him. He's too much. You know, would we give up everything good that we have to give it to someone else? Chances are we wouldn't. I know we have some good intentions within us, many of us, but we probably wouldn't. But Jesus did it for us. He gave up everything for us. He sacrificed for us. You know, have you ever spent a lot of money on somebody? Man, and then at the end of it all, you go, man, that wasn't worth it. You're like, man, in Spanish, que mal agradecido son. Oh my God, they're so ungrateful. Lord, help us. You know, Jesus is a gift that we don't deserve. He's a perfect gift for us that we don't deserve. I love how Paul writes it. I read this verse last week in Philippians 2:6, who being the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. We don't deserve it, but he did it anyway. He did it anyway. He took our place on the cross. It's the doctrine of substitution. He took our place on the cross. Isaiah writes it this way. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He took our place. We didn't deserve it, but he did it. He redeemed us. He paid the price that released us from the bondage of sin. Listen to the way Paul writes it in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Perfect, undeserved gift. We were enemies with God. But Paul writes in Romans 5:10, oh, he reconciled us to himself through his death. How much more now, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? There was a time we had a hostile relationship with God the Father, but because of Jesus, now we have peace with God. Yes. It is undeserved. It is undeserved. Why is this important to talk about today? Because when we understand that this perfect gift that we have received is undeserved, it changes the way that we live. It changes the way that we live. When we remember this and we keep this in mind, it changes the way that we live because we understand that we don't deserve it. And that's the position that we take in our faith. And we recognize this. And it helps us what? Be more sensitive to others. It helps us to remember this. It helps us to what? To not judge others so harshly in their time of failure. Although they don't deserve the grace and the forgiveness and the mercy, neither did we. So we live this life with wisdom and understanding. Because we've come to understand that we don't deserve it, but God is gracious towards us. You know, this is important because it reminds us that we can't stand before God demanding anything. But this is undeserved. All that we have received already is undeserved. Have you ever spoken with somebody who feels like they should have? They've missed the mark and they don't enjoy Christmas. Because when you think that way, it's because you haven't really embraced this perfect, undeserving gift. Listen, when we understand this, it changes the way that we live. We treat others differently. We're more sensitive and we're more patient with others because we remember that God was patient with us. And not only that, when we understand this, it allows us to be more generous because we don't really deserve it. So it allows us, it doesn't cost us anything to be generous. It doesn't cost us anything to give a little extra. It doesn't burden us. It doesn't sadden our souls. No, on the contrary, because it's a reflection of gratitude, because we recognize that we didn't deserve this perfect gift. So we are generous as a reflection of our very gratitude unto the Lord. And we understand that if we have had any good thing, it's only because the Lord has allowed it in our life. He's a perfect gift that is undeserved. We can talk about the perfect gift. It's personal. It's undeserved. Number three, it's all sufficient. It's more than you'll ever need. It's all sufficient. I love what Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and for godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. His presence is enough for us. I love that. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and his own goodness. We have everything that we need in him. This perfect gift is all sufficient. It sustains us. This perfect gift is rest for our souls. This perfect gift is peace in our circumstances. This perfect gift is forgiveness of our sins. This perfect gift is direction for our lives. It's encouragement in time of discouragement. It's comfort in time of mourning. It's this perfect gift sustains us in all seasons of our lives. When people are not doing well in their faith, it's because they haven't enjoyed this perfect gift that helps sustain them. Even in a time of loss, of mourning, we mourn differently. Because we have the Spirit of God that sustains us. It's the perfect gift. In time of discouragement that tries to set in, our faith tells us that God will sustain us. Even in our vulnerabilities and our weaknesses and in our battle with temptation and hardship, it's the gift of God that sustains us and allows us to enjoy victory in those seasons. It's a sustaining gift. And his name is Jesus. He's a perfect gift. For you and for me. And when we understand this, we enjoy this season so much more. And the church says, the last point this morning, he is an eternal gift. Eternal. He's eternal. I love that the Bible says that in Ephesians 1:4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. I love that before the creation of the world, because God is transcendent, from time to time, God exists. From barrier to barrier, God exists because he's omnipresent. He's present in all times, in all seasons, in all emotions, in all places. Right? So he was there in the beginning because he's omnipresent. Because he's omniscient. He knows all things. He knows past, present, and future. He sees what you see. He sees what I don't see. He was there in the beginning and he already had you and me in mind. Eternal. He's an eternal gift. And when we were born, he knew that we would be born. He knew exactly how we would look. Because he formed us. He forged us. We were in the mind and in the heart of God. And we are eternal. It's an eternal gift. Why? Because at the end time, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And the church of God will reign with Christ forever. He's an eternal gift. I think that some have only enjoyed the gift in seasons of their lives. In seasons. You know, things are going easy, I'm there. But things are not going so easy, I'm not there. Sometimes when things are going easy, we lose sight of God. And we forget that our good decisions in Christ brought an easy life to us. And because of our good decisions in Christ, our homes are better. Our spouses are better. Our children are doing well. And we begin to lack in our consistency, in our faith, because our good decisions brought us to a good place. And then we lose sight of those things. And then we fall back into some of our bad habits. And we forget that God is not seasonal. He's not just for when we're doing good. And he's not just when we're not doing good. God is there for us when we're not doing good, and he's there for us to sustain us even when we're doing good. It's longevity in Christ that allows us to enjoy what a life in Christ is for life. He's an eternal gift. Eternal. He's perfect. He's perfect for you and for me. I'd like to close our teaching with the help of the musicians. So this morning, as we close our teaching, I remind you, Christmas is about celebrating the perfect gift. Yes, whether you do it Thursday night or Friday morning. And you'll gather with your families and you will share gifts and share. And you'll get together with your brothers and sisters, your nephews and nieces and grandmas and grandpas and dear friends that are like family. And you will share gifts. It's wonderful to do it. It's wonderful to do it. But what is behind this great joy and laughter and dancing and food and lights and Christmas trees? What is behind it all? As we said last week, Jesus, the Savior of the world. And as we say today, embrace the perfect gift. Embrace him. Embrace him. Why? Because he's personal. Just for you and for me. He's personal to you and he's personal to me. And he's personal to your spouse and he's personal to your children. Embrace him because he's personal. You can't and I can't earn him. There's no good deed that we can win Jesus over with. There's no amount of money that we can give that will impress him. No, this gift is undeserved. There's nothing that we can do on this earth to deserve this walk with Jesus. It's completely undeserved. And when we understand that, it changes the way that we live. We judge differently. Because I can't judge you. If I judge you with the same measure that I judge you, I will be judged. I can't. It's undeserved. I show you grace and mercy and patience like God was with me. It changes the way that we live. We begin to be generous because we don't give people that deserve. We just give when there's a need because we understand that we received the perfect gift when we had a need. So we give because of a need. It's undeserved. We're reminded of that. We're reminded that his gift is sufficient. It will sustain you in every season of your life. Sustain you. It sustains you. You need comfort, he'll sustain you. You need counsel, he'll sustain you. You need encouragement, he'll sustain you. He's the perfect gift that sustains you. Sustains you in all seasons of your life. Those who have fallen, it's because they've tried to sustain themselves. But in Christ, there's always victory. Because He is the perfect gift that sustains us. And He's eternal. He won't leave you. He's never left you. He's never left me. In my lowest moments, God was there with me. And in my highest moments, He's still cheering me on. He's eternal. And he had us in His mind in the creation of time. And at the end of time, when this world passes away, His word will not pass away. And we will reign with Him. He's eternal. He is the perfect gift. So today I want to encourage you, embrace this perfect gift. Let this Christmas season be the best one you've ever had. One of joy and laughter. One of dancing and food. Let it be a year of generosity, of giving, of sharing, of enjoying. Why? Because Jesus, He is the perfect gift. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can I invite you all to stand this morning? Perhaps you're here today and you feel like, man, I need a gift. So I don't have a gift that's wrapped up in paper for you. But I have a gift that was wrapped up in flesh 2,000 years ago. And His name is Jesus. And He's the perfect gift for you. Perhaps you're here today and you're like, man, I'm struggling in my walk. I'm struggling. He's personal. He's sufficient. He's undeserved and He's eternal. Would you receive Him as the gift of God for you? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever would believe, would receive, would not perish, but have eternal life. As we sing this next song, maybe there's somebody here today that's saying, man, this teaching is resonating with me deeply this morning, and I need prayer to embrace the perfect gift, to embrace Him in a new level in my life, to embrace Him, to recognize that I've tried to do it without Him and I feel lost. Today is the day of salvation for you, the day of reconciliation, a day of new pact, a day of new focus. Today is the day for you. If there's someone here from the church that says, I need encouragement as well, also we'd like to pray for you this morning as we sing this next song. But if you're here and you need prayer, I want to encourage you to come to the altar. And we want to pray the perfect gift of God upon your life this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.